Welcome, everybody, to Moms Who Do It. I'm Ari.
And I'm Jessica.
And we're so excited to be back tonight. We are here with Katie. Katie is a mom of two children under 2 years old. So not only is she a mom, she's also a superhero. And we're super excited to have her with us and to hear about her life and how everything is going. So, Katie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, you guys.
Awesome. And we're going to start with our icebreaker question. Is there anything you've Googled recently in the context of being a mom?
Yes. So just tonight I was Googling how to get your child to poop in the toilet because we are currently trying potty training for real because he's been super, our oldest has been super interested in the potty and he's used it many, many times, but only to pee. And so we're trying to make the leap to using number two in the bathroom and we just can't seem to get that connection. So we're trying like all of these ways to just be like, poop in the toilet, put the poop in the toilet. He'll tell us as soon as he's done pooping and he'll go, hey, mom, dad, poo poo potty. And we're like, yeah. Put the poo-poo in the potty. Like that's next. Yeah. So that's, we've been Googling, how do we get him to poop in there?
That's amazing.
Yes.
I hope you find some magical secrets there.
I hope so too. I do.
So you'll have to pass them to us because you're a little ahead of the curve. Thanks.
Yeah. We're right behind you.
That's amazing. So what's it like being a mom of two under two? Tell us all the secrets.
Well, so far it has been really, really wonderful because all of the things that people, all of the good things that people tell you about how your heart just makes more space and you just fall in love all over again is just so true because it's really hard to imagine what that must feel like after being so in love and feeling such happiness and joy, like with your first child and being so obsessed with them and thinking to yourself, well, like, how is this going to happen again? Like, I'm so obsessed with my first kid. Everything they do is amazing. And they're, yeah, look at their smile and they're so sweet and all of these things. And, you know, you don't look at other people's kids and think those things. So you're like, well, how's that going to happen with like a second kid? And then it just does. And it's amazing because they're so completely different and wonderful, and you just completely open up just like the first time when you saw your first kiddo come around. So it's just been really, really amazing in that aspect to just have it feel so natural, like the amount of love you have, like that just completely opens up. So that's been really, really cool. And then the harder part is that all of your discretionary time that you have earned and fought and scraped to get with your older child, you know, the once they go to bed at 9, you're free. Yeah, it's gone. It's gone. It's dead. You know, whatever, like I said, whatever you've scraped to earn with your toddlers, whether that's their solid nap, you know, that 1, maybe 2 hours you get, you know, in the middle of the day, or like I said, that after 7, 8, 9, whatever their bedtime is, and they don't, you know, get up until whatever time they get up in the morning. All of that is gone with newborn life because, as you well know, they function like on a 1 to 3 hour schedule, and sometimes they don't stay in their crib for more than like 15 minutes. So you are cast into the fire once more, on top of just being exhausted from having, you know, your day with your toddler. So.
Oh my God. How do you manage that?
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God.
I'm tired just hearing that.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, okay.
I thought I was tired, but I'm definitely not compared to that.
Yeah, seriously.
I will say that I have found it easier in some respects to go from 1 to 2 kids than I did from 0 to 1 kid.
Yeah,
because yeah, you do remember because they're so close together, you know. I only did this with my older one, you know, what, a year and a half ago, or mm-hmm. you know, tops, a year and a half ago. So you have like a lot of muscle memory for it in a way, like, you know, the the changing the diaper every 2 to 3 hours, and it's constantly full with poop and pee and newborn diapers and things like that. So
the toddler poop.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So you have a lot of the muscle memory for, you know, the routine of going through like the newborn phase, because it happens, it didn't happen that much, you know, in long ago in time. So you kind of like, you pick up a lot of it. A lot of it is a lot more intuitive. There's a lot less Googling than the first time when you have a kid, and you're like, wait, I feed them again, right? Okay, and then after that, like, we do the diaper changes, right? And wait, how do I put on the diaper again? You know, I don't even think about 90% of my day with her. It just happens. You know, I look at her and I'm like, hey, she's hungry, so I feed her. You know, whereas with my first, you know, I really tried to like do things the best way possible, the schedule and the wake windows and, you know, all of these things that, you know, you're trying so hard to put in all of this effort and do it right. Whereas with her, it's just like, she'll be fine. I know she's hungry. I'll feed her. You know, yeah. I know when I feed her, it's time to change her diaper. I know when I've been holding her and she looks at me and she's starting to bat her eyes a little bit. Okay, well, she's probably tired. Let's try to put her down, you know? Whereas with my first, there was just so much more, like thought that had to go into it, because you don't know what it's like. So you're building this routine from scratch. And for most of us, at least for me, you know, I had been around other people's toddlers, around other people's little kids, around a few babies, but I'd never taken care of a baby. So I was starting from like zero. I was starting from zero knowledge of like, other than like, yeah, I've held a baby here or there. So, you know, by the time you get to your second, you just have so much of this groundwork completely done already that you are able to pick up a lot quicker than you did with your first. So that is a huge energy and time save that you didn't get with your first. Right. And then on top of that, I mean, if you're fortunate enough to have, you know, a partner, they have that same experience, right? So my partner, for example, he's able to be like, you know, dad 2.0 right there with me. So he's able to do things quicker, you know, he's able to take care of our toddler in the background while I'm taking care of her. And, you know, we can kind of divide and conquer a little bit more so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. So how would you describe your own time management? Given all of those things.
Yeah,
so right now I'm on maternity leave, so it's definitely going to be a little bit different probably than when I go back to work, because right now it's, you know, me doing the primary childcare at home and taking care of them. So time management is really, it's built around my toddler schedule, and then she just fits in around it, because she's my newborn is, you know, her schedule is easier to be flexible, whereas my toddler needs a little bit more of the rigidity in his schedule, right? So he eats it at certain times. He's got to be in the high chair and then cleaned up and then down for naps and, you know, independent free time and, you know, play time in between. Whereas with her, you know, I can sit down and nurse her. I can do diaper changes. You know, those are usually 15 to 20 minute tasks for me. And they happen just kind of as needed on demand. But in the meantime, I can just, you know, wear her while I take care of the toddler. So baby wearing has been a huge, huge, like time management skill, because essentially she can just nap on me and she's totally happy and totally content to just be strapped to me. And I still have both the use of two of my hands to like wrangle the toddler that's trying to stick something. So that's really helpful, because he still needs, you know, while he's able to do independent play, as in, you know, he might be able to entertain himself with some of his toys, he's not independent in that he can't take care of himself in any capacity, right? We're still doing diaper changes. I still need to change his clothes if he gets food all over him. I still need to, you know, wipe down his high chair, serve him like, you know, a normal food, clean up after him, get him in and out of his crib and things like that. Whereas with her, you know, she's tiny. She just wants to eat and sleep mostly. So it's much easier for her to be the one that has more flexibility than he does at this moment, especially because we're entering the terrible twos where he's starting to have so much more autonomy And I have to convince him to do things. Whereas with her, I'm just like, sorry, you're along for the ride. Good luck. You know?
Yeah. How did the older one, how is he like taking having a little sister? Like, can you tell if he's like, how is he acting?
Yeah, so we tried to introduce the concept of a new baby coming in before she arrived. So we got him a baby doll, and we would talk
That's
to him.
That's what we did with our dog before our baby.
Right?
So the dog wouldn't eat the baby.
Right, so the dog would be like, oh, okay, wait, I've heard them use the word baby
creepy,
before.
Creepy
yeah.
doll sitting in our room. And my husband's like, why is there a baby doll in our room? We're just like a couple with no kids. Like, there's no kid here. And I was like, it's because we don't want the dog to, like, you know, you have to get acclimated before. It's smart.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, especially, too, I mean, I would put, like, you know, dogs and toddlers in the same category as far as this. Yeah. You just don't know how they're going to react, right? You don't know what their reaction is going to be like. So it could be anything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we got him a baby doll beforehand, and we would talk to him about the baby, and we would have him practice, you know, like, bring the baby. Why don't you try giving your milk to the baby? You know, so he would kind of engage with the baby here and there. It was kind of like any other toy, which is like, sometimes he was interested in it and sometimes he was like, I don't care about it. Like, literally couldn't care. So we kind of just did some light engagement. We didn't want to put too much pressure around it. But so far he's been really good. I mean, he's moderately interested, as in, you know, he definitely knows who baby is. He talks about baby all the time, you know, but he doesn't really interact with her too much yet, because I don't think he knows what to do with her. Mm-hmm. But he's very pleasant. He's very helpful. He likes to bring her things to do. He really likes to be involved. So, for example, you know, if I say, hey, I have to go change the baby's diaper, he's like, oh, change baby, gets a new diaper, change baby's diaper, let's go, you know, baby room. You know, he gets excited because he understands what we're doing with her. So, you know, because he's, you know, he still gets his diaper changed. So he gets excited to kind of like participate with her,
awesome.
You know. Yeah, so those are good. And then he's only really expressed frustrations when I'm pinned down. For example, like if I'm breastfeeding, you know, so I have to be just sitting in one spot, and she could decide to breastfeed for 5 minutes. She could decide to breastfeed for like a half an hour. You just never know, because sometimes they fall asleep, you know? And so when I'm sitting there, you know, and he gets frustrated because he wants me to get up and do things with him. He wants me to go play. He wants me to do, you know, engage with him, and I'm kind of just sitting in a chair. I could talk to him, I can try to hand him a toy if it's within reach, but other than that, I can't really do much. So sometimes he'll, you know, come up and we've got the little boppy, and he'll try to grab the boppy and just say, all done, mama, you're all done now. And I'm like, no, I'm not, I wish I was, trust me, but I'm not. So we gotta wait, and I try to have to convince him to be patient, and you know, we have to feed the baby still, and she's not done yet. And you know, he just, like I said, sometimes he'll just be like, no, you're all done now. And I'm like, no, that's not how that works. Yeah, so he's just, you can tell he gets a little frustrated here and there, but it only seems to be when, like, those moments that I'm breastfeeding, because like I said, I can't do anything.
Right.
Just sitting in a chair.
Right. No, that makes sense. He's probably like, why is mommy not paying attention to me?
That's, right, yeah. Exactly. Like, I've never just sat in a chair before and told him
right.
No. I'm always, you know, I'm always able to get up and grab a toy or read that book or do this thing. I can't, you know, I don't say no to him for almost any other reason. So.
Right. Because that, to me, the reason why I asked was, like, it seems like to me that the hardest thing would be probably for the other child, like, why is the attention not on me anymore? Who is this other child coming, like, you know, as at under 2 years old? It's like, what is happening? But they're also so young that, like, you know, I think the bond between people, like my best friend from growing up, her brother and her, like, I think they were two under two, and like they're very close. So I think it really is like a beautiful thing in the future. It might be hard now, or I'm sure it's difficult sometimes, but I think it's really nice that, you know, the age gap is so close that they have like a best friend forever. It's crazy. So
I couldn't agree any more. That was, you know, our big concept that we've tried to, you know, abide by. I'm 2 years younger than my brother. My brother's 2 years younger than my sister. It's similar with my husband's family. He's only a year younger than his sister, but that's because he was born pretty prematurely. And then his sister, I think, is maybe 2 or 3 years younger than his brother. So they're all pretty close in age as well. So, you know, when we talked about having kids, we were both on the same page that we wanted to have our kids pretty close in age, because I feel like you just get to experience so many life events around similar times that you end up sharing so much. You have so much more in common. You're not, you know, you don't, I think that you don't fall into the traps of an older sibling getting parentified, where they end up taking care of their younger siblings in some capacity. You just get to be kids together because you're so little time between the two of you.
Right.
So that's, I think, some of the bonuses of having kids so close in age.
Oh, 100%. And you get to, like, not forget what you were just doing and just keep going. Keep plugging
away. Right. Right. I have a friend of mine right now whose son is 6, and she's considering having another one. And one of the things that she was, she's just considering it. She's not really sure. She's kind of split on whether she wants to or not. But one of the things that she was talking about with me, she's like, I forget how to do all these baby things. Like, I haven't held a baby since my own son, you know? So I haven't held a baby in 5 years, 6 years, you know, whatever it's been. She's like, I'm going to have to, like, Google things again. I'm going to have to be reading those books again and taking those intro classes and, you know, trying to figure things out. I mean, I think if any of us had a skill that you didn't use in 6 years, it would be probably pretty rusty.
Right. Yeah. No, it's really like it makes sense. If you can do it, it makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
So it definitely takes a strong person.
Yeah. And there's a lot of pieces that have to, a lot of pieces that have to come together, because, I mean, like I said, the things that are helpful are, like, you know, a really supportive partner, and, you know, there's the, whether you use daycares or nannies or, you know, family members or things like that, there's, like, you know, the childcare considerations, because the most expensive childcare is when they're young, and now you have 2 kids that are young, you know, we all know that the cost of daycare is the most expensive when they're infants, and it gets a little cheaper as things go up, but you know, now you have 2 kids that are really young, both potentially needing childcare. It's really expensive. So
for 2 kids, that'd be like a whole salary.
We've done the math. It's not fun. It's not fun at all. And you know, but the thing we think about it is, we're like, well, if we can afford it, you know, which we made those considerations before, but, like, you know, we're going to be paying all this money out and things like that. But over time, you know, you do get to stop paying out so much money, and eventually they go into school and you pretty much stop paying altogether. You have, you know, little after school cares or summer camps or things to consider, but you know,
college.
Yeah. Right. And I'm like, then we have to stockpile all that money we're saving for their future education. So really the expenses just never go away.
No, the minute they're born, that's it.
Yes.
Yep. So true. Everything's so expensive nowadays. It's crazy.
It's crazy. So, Katie, how do you have any time for yourself as Katie?
Right now, I don't.
No, we should
That's
rephrase
the truth.
It. It's, do you have any time?
Yeah,
right.
Sorry, do you?
Truthfully, no, I do not. That is the truth. Yeah, but that's, you know, I think that's for now.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, because the newborn phase. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you have 1 kid, 2 kids, 4 kids, etc. Yeah. You know, the newborn phase is just so it's so constant. It's so all consuming. You know, there are tons of people, I'm sure, out there who have completely different newborn experiences, right? Newborns who sleep, you know, really generous amounts, or newborns who are just, like, really happy all the time, right? Those, like, little Instagram babies you see that are so cute, and they just, like, exist in this bubble of cuteness. Yeah, and, like, you couldn't imagine, like, them screaming at their mom's face, like, for 3 hours, right? But The reality for most of us is that we do have newborns that, like, they're not great sleepers, right? And sometimes they can be fed with clean diapers and they're burped and they've slept well and they've had a wonderful day and they're still going to spend 2 hours screaming at you. It's just, it's going to happen, right? Sure. So right now, you know, the cycle is, it's unpredictable. There's very little sleep involved for both of us, you know, and I really don't even think that she's that difficult of a baby. I think she's actually been a little bit easier than my first. I think partially because, you know, I'm not so new at this. And also because she just has a different personality. She has different needs. So right now, you know, the answer is none. It's pretty much whatever time my husband is willing to take from his pile, then I get a little bit.
Yeah, but that's good. I mean, and it's just temporary. As soon as you're past that newborn stage, it'll get a little a little more, I don't know, even with the time and things like that. So, yeah, I don't think I slept for 4 months. Like,
4 months. I'm clearly still not sleeping because I just asked you the same question twice and I didn't even remember. But now I remember it was the poop to get into the toilet.
Yes,
so
yes,
I remember.
The poop.
Mm-hmm. But right. I'm also very, like, sidetracked because my daughter is literally screaming in the other room. It's kind of bad. So. But yeah, no, I think it's super interesting. And it's really, I've always, you know, I like hear people have two under two and I've seen moms with two under two, but I've never like gone in depth with somebody about how it feels. So I think it's really like interesting and listeners who are pregnant with, you know, their two under two second child, or if people are thinking about it. I think it's like really, really interesting everything you're saying, and it doesn't seem as scary when you talk about it.
So, yeah, you make it.
You're very calming.
Yeah, really. Like driving a car, just like, oh yeah.
Yeah, no big deal. Because I'd be like, help.
Yeah, I would need a full time staff.
Yeah, seriously.
Help me. Honestly, I could honestly say that I think part of the reason that I'm not pulling my hair out every day is because I really, really cannot like sing the praises of my husband enough. He is such a Mr. Mom, you know. Yeah, he really is. He is the best. He's just, you know, there are lots of stereotypes out there and there are lots of boxes that people fit into. And, you know, a lot of the boxes that some partners fall into are just like not exactly the most attentive or helpful with the household or things like that. Or you know, the trope of the clueless dad or things like that. And, you know, mine happens to be just a really, really well-rounded, really big contributor to the household, even before we had kids. You know, he's always been the person in there doing dishes or cooking. And then so that translated really, really well to childcare when we have, you know, kids. He's got a much higher standard of living than I do, which really benefits me as a mom because I am happy to like, whatever, I'll get to it tomorrow. And he's like, no. This needs to be clean. I'm like, go for it. It's all you, you know? So that's really, really helpful, you know? But I think that establishing those conversations pre-kids and especially like working on your routines with your partner, if you have one, before having that second kid under two is going to be monumental because I frankly could not do this without him. I would be an actual zombie. The only reason I'm even a semi-functional human being is because of all the support I get from him. Like I said, whatever free time I get, whatever break I get, whatever moment of peace that I get is because he is pouring into my cup and not taking it from it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's awesome. That's very inspiring.
It is. It's definitely a two-person job.
It truly is. I honestly look back at the moms of the generations previous from us who did it very, very differently, or I guess had circumstances in their lives where it was more like where they were more likely to have done it differently, like my own mother, who's you know, was a stay-at-home mom, but like she just did it all on her own. My dad went off to work. It was a very traditional relationship, and he came home and like dinner was ready and he relaxed for the rest of the evening. And like on weekends, dad would hang out with us. And like, that was it, you know, yeah. Because that's a much more like traditional setting and role. And I look at my mom and I'm like, you know, cause she had three kids under four, right? Cause we were all born 2, 2, 2. Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm like, and she did it by herself, you know? I know. I'm like, and how was she sane? How did we have like food on the table? Yeah. How did we, you know, how did we?
Did you ask her? I want to know. Did you just never sleep ever?
Yeah, I totally understand. I never ever understood people who are like, oh, I got like 5 or 6 hours of sleep last night. I'm fine. I can totally function on that. And I'm like, how? That's disgusting. Why are you trying to function like that? And now I get anywhere between like 5 or 6 hours of sleep on any given night.
That's
and it's broken
time.
Up and it's weird. Yeah. Well, yeah, not all at the same time. It's usually in like 1 to 3 hour chunks if I'm lucky right now.
Oh, but I'm so sorry.
Thank
you for being here when you have to do that.
Oh, it's fine. Of course. No, it's important because, you know, the truth is you made it before, you can make it again. You know, like I said, most of us who are considering having two under two, you know, you didn't have that like perfect sleeper. They got better as they got older, but at the beginning, you know, it's some pretty strong hellfire. It's hard. It's really, really hard to get through.
Literal
and
torture.
I say it all the time, like, you know, when they train Navy SEALs during Hell Week, they put them under sleep deprivation and they say it's like the worst human torture you can go through. And I'm like, great. So every new mom is basically a trained Navy SEAL.
Literally.
Because we have the same condition. See, exactly.
That's why I hallucinated. Like, because you hallucinate. Because you're...
Yes.
Your brain can't function anymore at a certain point.
Yeah.
I have not spoken to a single mom who has not like had an auditory hallucination where they hear the baby crying and they wake up panicking and the baby is not crying, right? Or they like roll over in the bed and even though they've never slept with their baby once, they're like, oh my God, I'm holding the baby and I just rolled over on the baby. 100%. You know, because you're... Yeah, you hallucinate that you're holding the baby. You hear the baby even when, you know, they're not even in the same room with you sometimes, you know? And it's wild. It's because your brain is like deprived of every single cognitive function that it has left and it's firing on one cylinder and it's just doing the best it can.
Oh, I just came out of that phase and I just don't miss it at all. Like, I'm so honest with every potential mom or current mom that I talk to. I'm like, no, it was hell. Like, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it.
I'm pretty sure within the first week after having, you know, our baby girl, I asked myself, why did we do this? What was I'm sorry, why? Oh, why do we think this was a good idea?
Rough.
Yeah. Rough. It's just because you come into a rude awakening. Like I said, the way I think about it is, you know, we've worked so hard with our toddler to get to such a comfortable routine and a comfortable space. You know, everybody's different with where they're at with their toddlers at different stages and things like that. But for us, we're in a really good spot. You know, he goes to bed at 8 o'clock. He doesn't wake up till 7 o'clock the next morning. He doesn't need us in the middle of the night at all. We worked really hard with sleep training. So we get a solid chunk from 8 p.m. to 7 a.m. of true kid-free time. And that has been that way for probably almost, you know, 9 months at this point, if not a little bit longer. And so, you know, we got really, really used to having this time, having the ability to sleep or get in, you know, a movie, get a few hours of just like, you know, doing whatever I wanted to do with no kid, no anything. And knowing that, you know, he's not going to wake up any second. So you don't have that like back of the mind, like anxiety that like, you know, he's going to wake up. And so all of that you work towards is, you know, when you introduce your newborn is just poof, it's gone. You know, it doesn't exist. So it's So, you know, it's going to take me another probably 6 months to a year to work back up to that spot of, you know, truly having genuine time that is carved out just for me if I want it.
Yeah, but you'll get there.
Yeah, that's just a matter of time.
In 20 years.
No. When they go to college.
Well, because my mom, it was funny. My mom said the other day, I said to her, like, when do you stop worrying about, like, everything with your kids? She goes, honestly, you're, like, almost 30 and I still worry. So I'll let you know. And I'm like, yikes. I'm like, that's
So, I totally understand. I'm the last born child from my mother, and she's always said, "Oh, you'll always be my baby. You're my baby," you know. And I'm like, "Okay, mom, right? Okay, sure." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, yep. No, I get it. I totally get it." And my kids aren't even grown up, and I'm like, "Yeah, no, I will forever see them as my babies," you know. Yeah, I don't care if he's going to be, you know, a grown ass man with a, you know, a balding head and a thick beard. I'm still going to look at my little baby and be like, yep, I can still remember wiping your butt and rocking you to sleep and, you know, teaching you words and all these things. And I totally get it now. I totally get it.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, down the road, one day the house will be empty. And, you know, now it's hard. Some nights are difficult and, you know, there's just mayhem or whatever it is, but then down the road it's like I always tell myself, I'm like, I'm gonna miss this.
Yeah.
Like, I might not miss it right now, but I will miss it eventually.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think I saw somebody put it very poignantly where they said that, you know, you never know until it's already gone when something is going to be your last. And so when it's going to be that last time you rock them to sleep versus just putting them in their bed, or where they just get into bed on their own. Or that last time they run up to you and just give you, you know, a big hug and, you know, call you mama instead of mom, you know, or something like that. You know, and there's going to be all these lasts that you don't know are coming, but they're coming for you regardless. And so just enjoy them. Just really just sit here and say to yourself, like, you know, this might be the last toddler tantrum I ever see, or it might not be. But believe it or not, I'm probably still going to miss even the toddler tantrum because, you know, one day they're not even going to be here. They're going to be off doing their own thing. And I'm going to miss, you know, the fact that they were, you know, throwing their toys.
They don't call me anymore.
Right.
Well, I guess that was kind of what I was, because my usually how we end is usually I ask the guests, you know, what is one piece of wisdom they would like all the other moms to hear, you know, regarding motherhood or just, for you being a mom two under two, what are your words of wisdom for everybody out there that you would want us to know?
I would say that it's truly, like I mentioned a little bit earlier in the podcast, but I definitely want to reiterate it because I think it is so important. It's truly just such an expansion of the love and the caring and the kindness and compassion that, like, you can feel as a human being, in a way that, like I said, I never really thought I would feel again after having our first. It's just like this huge shift in your entire world, and it very much becomes, you know, before kids and after kids. And you think to yourself, well, you know, I already have a child, I already know this experience, but you really do get to experience it all over again with somehow fresh eyes, a fresh heart, fresh love, all of these amazing things when you have that second child. And I think especially too with it happening so close, because it's still so new and so fresh and so wonderful of being, you know, a mom to very young kids. So I would say that, you know, so many people will tell you how hard it can be and how you'll want to pull your hair out and the long nights and it's exhausting and it, you know, you don't see a lot of return of your investment for a lot of time. And they'll warn you of all of the negative and hard things that you'll go through, but I think very few people take the time to point out the beauty and the magic of just the love that is there of baby snuggles and having both of your kids want to crawl up in your lap at the same time. and the fact that you're big enough to like hold both of them because they're both still so tiny. You know, those moments are really, really amazing and magical. So there's so much good to it. Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome. I really appreciate, I mean, totally eye-opening for me because, you know, you're right. I usually hear like the negative, it's so hard and blah, blah, blah. But no, you seem to be rocking it and it sounds, the way you make it sound sounds good. So I really, really, really appreciate you taking the time, your precious time.
Yeah, thank you.
for speaking with us. And yeah, it was awesome. Thank you so, so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. I hope you find sleep.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you both.
Lots of coffee.
I am definitely going to go and crash immediately afterwards.
Yes, please do. Get your hour in, please.
I will.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
See you guys. Bye.
Thank you.